Fans, it's great to be back with you. Gordon Whitmire joins us, and we love having Gordy on at Twitter, at G-Dub Cub. It's his 25th year as a beat writer on the baseball beat. He works with NBC Sports Chicago. And I said earlier in the show, Gordy, that Jed Hoyer, Ricketts' family did more damage to Chicago than Mrs. O'Leary's cow yesterday. And I'm glad to have you on to talk a little bit.
The difference is the cow got scapegoated. This one's real.
Really? All right. So let's talk a little bit. First of all, everyone out here is very excited about getting Chris Bryant. Your reaction to that, a little bit of what Bryant said, and bring us up to date.
Well, as far as what San Francisco can expect, I mean, this is just a great kid. I've known him since the day he was drafted. I spent time toward the end of his when he finished up his one full minor league season. I went out to Las Vegas and hung out with him and his dad, and just a great family, just a great guy. Smart, he's thoughtful when you're talking to him, and he's a hell of a hitter. I mean, this guy was their best hitter for years, basically since he broke in. He also has developed this knack for being able to play everywhere. He actually played shortstop in his last game as a Cub with Hobby sidelined and the backup got hurt. So he has played six positions this year. Five of them he's played right around, well, I think it's exactly like the 10 games or more at the starts at five different positions. So you're going to get a versatile player, hell of a hitter, nice guy. It's also a great fit for him personally. He's from Las Vegas. He kind of wanted, looked westward at his at ideal landing spots if he were to have had his choice, and San Francisco might have been the ideal place for him to land. And I don't mean just because the Giants are having such a great season. He hits well there. I think he's got 1,000 OPS at that ballpark, so it should be a great fit. And I would expect him to have a really strong finish.
You know, I was listening to you. Gordon Whitmire is with us. You can follow him, NBC Sports Chicago, at G-Dub Cub on Twitter. You know, if he likes the West Coast, frankly, San Diego's got Machado. The Dodgers have Turner at third, and they've got a ton of infielders now, potentially with Trey Turner as well. I don't think he's going to Oakland. I don't think he's going to Seattle. Maybe the Giants really have a shot to sign him long-term if he'd like to be out on the West Coast, because that's about your choice.
I actually considered the Giants, just as I spitballed it, looking ahead at his free agency, I had the Giants at or near the top of the list anyway. And the fact that they went out and got him at the trade deadline tells you that they at least have him on their radar as a guy that they like. Scott Harris knows him well. From all his time, I think he was in that front office when Bryant was drafted, or at least as he developed. So he knows him as well as anybody in baseball who's not in the Cubs organization. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see that happen, except that I'm sure that Chris and his agent Scott Boras are going to want to see what the free agent market looks like, who else is out there, and play some offers of him. The Mets were also interested in him and have been sort of this natural fit, at least since the winter. And they've got a really aggressive owner who likes to spend money. So I think we'll at least hear rumors that they're throwing a lot of money at him at some point. And so it kind of depends on what the Giants want to spend. I think they're probably in position to do it if they want to, and it would be a great fit.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Boy, it's going to be interesting. All right, the Cubs yesterday, and, you know, you look at devastation of a franchise, and maybe the Marlins come to mind of two teams that got torn down after the World Series, but I don't think we have seen anything like this before. First of all, the reaction in Chicago, what was it like yesterday?
Yeah, well, I'm in D.C., but I do have Twitter and other social media, and I have ears and eyes. And I also talked to a bunch of fans the day before I left to come to D.C., and they weren't happy just at the prospects of it happening. Never mind the prospects. They got back that they have no idea whether they're any good. I've never seen you mentioned it up top. 25 years I've done this. Four different teams I've covered, both leagues. I have never seen a trade deadline like this. I've never seen a one-team wrecking ball like this. For the You mentioned the Marlins, and absolutely, you know, especially that 97 team, which was a bunch of hired mercenaries in the first place, and then Hyzenga blew it up right after they won it. This was a homegrown group that was beloved by the fans. I mean, the three guys in particular that got traded, Baez, Bryant, and Rizzo, in the last 24 hours before the deadline, these were the quintessential fan favorites. And these guys had all been there. Rizzo had been there since 2012. Bryant got drafted in 2013, broke in 2015. And Javi broke in 2014, went down, came back up. And then they were all huge pieces of that run that started in 15 and really went all the way through last year. People forget they won a division title last year. They've had six straight winning seasons, five of those in the playoffs, three of them in the NLCS. One of them, obviously, the World Series championship, maybe the most celebrated one in baseball history. I mean, Boston might argue with that, but certainly up there. And they are – the word icon was thrown around a lot yesterday. The word legacy was thrown around a lot yesterday. Franchise altering was a term that was used. All these apply. These guys are as big as it's ever gotten in Chicago baseball, and they were all gone in an instant. I've never seen anything like that. And
no.
The fans are devastated.
Yeah, amazing. Really amazing. As you're right, it took place within a few hours. And I don't know, maybe the biggest surprise for me was Kimbrel going cross town to the White Sox. And you just, the Eloy Jimenez a couple of years ago, you know, we could pick out a few. But for me, that may have been the most shocking. Was it for you?
Yeah, I was surprised that's where he went. There were 10 or more teams that were in on him. And you know, what's funny is that at the end of the day, from a Chicago perspective, we're writing about Baez and Rizzo and Bryant. They traded nine guys in the span of a week and a half. They traded eight of those this week. Seven of them came in that last 24-hour stretch, roughly 24 hours. We're talking about those three, and yet probably the guy that got the biggest haul that you can at least measure, because one of them's a big leaguer, Nick Madrigal, and another one has played in the big leagues, a pitcher, Hoyer, and he's right there. He's expected to be part of their staff in the short run. They got the biggest haul for him, and he's the potential Hall of Fame closer, and we hardly even talked about him yesterday. But to your question, was I surprised? I was surprised he went to the White Sox, not because of a perceived unwillingness to deal with the crosstown team, but primarily because there were so many teams involved for him, and the White Sox already have an elite closer, as the Bay Area is very familiar with, Liam Hendricks. So I thought somebody else might come in more desperate and offer more, but the White Sox got really aggressive. I think what it does say, for anybody that cares about what the Cubs might think, what it does suggest to me is that Kimbrel, who has a club option for next year, will be around to potentially write. You don't like these kind of trades because they can come back and haunt you. He can haunt you through next year, which kind of tells me the Cubs don't care about next year. So at least, so they don't care. By the time they're trying to win again, he'll be long gone from Chicago, and the White Sox can have whatever they can get out of him.
Well, the trade like that for me is a pennant winner. When you have those two guys in the bullpen, if things break correctly in the year Kimbrel is happening. Well, Baez goes to the Mets to join Lindor there, and Rizzo is a Yankee. Those two, of course, two favorites. Now, what about the destinations where they landed? How about your reaction to that?
Yeah, I thought this kind of got maybe underplayed a little bit. But once all the dust settled and once all the emotion was wiped away from this, it is interesting to me that I've already said that Bryant kind of was landed in his best fit for him. Like if these three guys had their choices of all the teams that were out there, never mind the teams that were interested in him, just all the teams that were out there that were contenders, I think every single one of those three guys would have picked the teams they wound up with. I think that's really interesting that it worked out that way. And I'm talking not just competitively and not just for a baseball fit, but personally. Javi Baez, one of his best friends in the game is Lindor. They've known each other since they were kids. And they've talked openly about playing with each other. They did in the WBC, and plus the Mets, you know, in New York. Javi loves going to New York. Every time we go there, I mean, he's as happy as you see him anywhere on the road, just because he loves the city and the culture and everything in New York. It's a perfect fit for him, and they've got money if they want to keep him. He can go there and perform for 2 months and really be motivated, massively incentivized, because that owner's aggressive and in a spending mode right now. And if he helps them do anything special, he could be in for a big payday. I mean, it's a personal fit all the way around for him. And Rizzo, he's got family in New Jersey. His parents grew up there. The Yankees, I believe the Yankees were their team. And plus he's like this big kid that just kind of loves the idea of, you know, if I'm going to go somewhere else, it's the freaking Yankees, pinstripes. It's, you know, the Yankee Stadium and the Bronx Bombers and the whole thing. And I think he really gets a kick out of that, plus all the personal connection with family in the area. I don't think you could have picked better landing spots for any of them. And there's a part of me that wants to think that there was a little intent behind that. I know it's a business, and I know Jed Hoyer's not out there saying, well, I'll take a little less and make this fit for this guy. But I wouldn't be surprised if he focused a little harder on getting what he could out of those teams, knowing that it would be something good for those guys. There is a strong set of personal relationships there between them.
Well, what a day for Chicago baseball. Boy, I'm so happy to have you on. We'll have to get you on again to go through what the Cubs got for all these players. But
what a day.
What a day for Chicago baseball. Gordy, thank you so much. I appreciate you being on.
You got it, Marty. Thank you.
All right. That is Gordon Whitmire. More coming up. KMBR 680. What a day for Chicago baseball. 104.5, the sports leader. Thanks, Gordy.